Hey gang, are you in a band in Austin and you're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a friendly and knowledgeable staff that can help you through whatever you're trying to do. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you did this week. I have had a very nice week. My ex-girlfriend went out of town. I've been staying dog-sitting my dog, Taylor, and a dog that she is fostering, a beautiful greyhound named Trace. And you know what's funny is I go over there a couple times a week, like to do stuff with Taylor, and Trace has been keeping to himself. He hasn't even been wanting to go on walks with me when I go over there. Kind of hangs out in his bed and like checks me out. I come over and pet him and talk to him, and he's nice, but he doesn't follow me anywhere. He doesn't come when I call him. So I spent the night there last night and woke up this morning, fed him breakfast, took him for a walk, and then all of a sudden, someone was licking my hand in the kitchen, and it was him. He was just following me around. And when I went and sat down, he put his head on my lap. So I think I have a new friend, Trace. So Taylor and me and Trace have been having a great time hanging out, doing the thing that you do with dogs, which is just kind of hang out, snuggle, walk around outside, do stuff. You know, just, I don't know. I really enjoy my dog, and I love it when I get to spend like 24 hours straight with him. And this has been a couple of days, so it's been great. All right, enough of that mushy dog stuff. I've had a good week. I'm getting back to work with Skyrocket this weekend. And I'm looking forward to that because it's looking like a slow summer, which is weird. It's always frightening to look at a calendar that's, you're like, hey, man, where's all the gigs? So hopefully they'll start filling in one by one. I'll let you know. We're doing some public gigs. We'll be down in Houston next Friday, June 7th. We'll be in at Sam's in San Antonio on Saturday, June 8th. And we'll be at Hanover's in Pflugerville on the next Friday, which is, I think, like the 14th. Anyway, gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Taylor Baker and Drew Walker, better known as Swells, are here today. Their brand new single, Lights Out, is available now. It just came out in April, features our friend Mobley. They have a lot of great singles out now that you can find. Go to swellstheband.com. I have a great conversation with Taylor and Drew. I actually did an event with them, a music marketplace event, back in December, where I did a How Did I Get Here live with like Kathy Valentine, Lewis Black, and Frenchie Smith. And they were the entertainment afterwards. And I wanted to ask them on the show afterwards, but I totally spaced it out. Anyway, gang, they came over last week and we had a great conversation. They were the first conversation I had back in the remodeled apartment. And so we had to do it on handheld mics because I did not trust the sound of the room at that point. It was before I got the curtains, before I started hanging stuff on the walls. So it was super echoing here. And I thought with three condenser mics live, it would just be so room sounding and echoey that it would be a little annoying. So I brought out a couple of Shure SM58s and my Sennheiser handheld mic. And we quickly I changed the sound a little bit. So it's a different sounding podcast. These are handheld mics, still going through the same machine. You'll get used to it. It's a great conversation with Taylor and Drew. They're amazingly talented. I really enjoy their music. They just got off tour with Missio and Blackalack. They did 25 shows in like a month. They traveled 11,000 miles in their van, chasing this tour, doing it, bringing their music to the people and getting great responses. So please enjoy my conversation with Taylor Baker and Drew Walker. Swells, let's get down.
The coldest fire in the tamest sea. You swallowed me whole and you set me free. We're burning it down like never before. I'm calling you out, I don't give a fuck. I won't till the lights out. Cold blood flowing through my veins, oh. Can't stop running out of time now. I'm so ready.
So the other thing I was grateful for was I ended up in a situation with a lot of booze on Wednesday night that I was not expecting.
Uh-oh.
I was out until like 3 in the morning. I came home, was listening to tunes. So when you texted yesterday and you're like, man, I was like,
thank
this is
God.
A miracle. Because I was doing that thing where you're pacing around going like, okay, don't be sweating when they come here.
Yeah.
Well, that worked out for both of us.
Yeah. It worked out for all of us. Here, pull your mics up just a little bit closer.
Yeah.
I thought I had reached out to you guys before because we did that thing together at the
Native Hostel.
Native Hostel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you, if you did,
I
we didn't get it.
Okay. I wanted to,
oh.
And I meant to.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, those things happen.
Totally.
But you guys are fantastic. You just got out of, you just got off tour with Missio and Blackalack.
Yep.
How was
that?
You guys did a lot of dates.
Yeah.
We did. It was a hustle, but it was amazing.
Yeah, it was so much fun. It was a really good experience.
And it's just you two, like your team is you two?
Yeah, we have a drummer as well.
Oh, okay.
That we bring on.
Was, he was there that day at
no, we actually played that duo.
It was just you two.
We can do the duo thing, but I prefer to have a drummer. But, you know, some shows don't always need a drummer or we don't have one available, so we can pull it off, just us two.
Is it Dwight on drums on the record?
Yes. Okay, and also...
They're all mostly singles, right?
Well, we have an unreleased record right now.
Fantastic.
But Dwight did some electronic drums. Greg Clifford, who plays with White Denim, did some drums as well.
Yeah.
And then Mobley did drums on one of the tracks
too. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you guys... And also, your new single, Lights Out, features Mobley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So you guys are friends with him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's super talented. He helped write and produce that one, mm-hmm. so... It's always good to collab. We want to do more of that.
For sure.
Who, is it you? Okay, let's go back to the beginning. Where do you guys, are you guys from here?
I'm born and raised here in Austin.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yep. I'm from like the suburbs of Houston down south.
Oh, yeah? Which ones?
League City, actually.
Okay. I don't, is that a...
South of Houston.
45?
Like, yep, it's down off 45, Kima, Texas.
Right.
It's down there, too.
That's a good area. I like Galveston.
Yeah. It's real close, 30 minutes from Galveston.
And so, all right, I'm trying to figure out. I haven't done one of these in a month, so it's kind of weird for me. I did one, but it was crazy.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people. But, so how did you guys meet? Like, where do you come from musically?
I just found Drew strumming a guitar on the street corner, picked him up.
That's not true.
I was like, wow, busking does pay off.
Yeah, no. We try and change the story every time, but really, we met at South by Southwest, a local Native show.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a local, like a Native hostel show or no?
Local Natives, they're a band from California.
Oh,
they were playing Luster Pearl.
Our favorite band.
Yeah, so that's like our favorite band for sure now.
Yeah. You know, when I first heard you guys, I got like the Fantagram vibe.
Love Fantagram.
And I saw, like, you guys would be good opening
totally.
For them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
You know, I hung out with them at South by Southwest.
Nice. Cool. They did a Native Hostel thing.
Was it last year?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah.
I know they played at Native Hostel.
They did. Like, they probably did a few things.
I a friend of mine is friends with them, and I didn't see them play, but I hung out with them.
How are That's they awesome. To hang out with?
It's a diplomatic way to say this.
Yeah.
Those guys like to party.
Really?
Really?
See that.
Yeah, I
yes.
could see
very
that.
Very outgoing.
They
follow
were,
them on Instagram.
They're kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You follow Fantagram on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
They went to the... Each one of them went to the bathroom about every 7 minutes. That's all I'll say.
Dang.
Bladder problems.
And it was over here at the Jackalope.
Nice.
So it was like a weird place.
Cool. I love that.
And it was daytime, and I was like, I was watching them, and I was like, oh, I know what you
That's
guys
That's like directly
doing.
Across from Emo's, right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I've been there
yeah.
a few times.
Yeah.
Place is cool.
Okay, so you, how did you really meet? You at South by Southwest at the show.
Yep.
Did you play then, and did you play then?
We both played separately.
Okay.
And we met through a mutual friend, which was her guitar player at the time, and he ended up going on tour with another band, so she needed someone to kind of jump in and fill in. And then we won this contest for KUTX while I was filling in. So I just kind of stayed around.
after that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's a bummer for the other guy.
Well, he was busy with other shit too.
He had a
he's
lot
still
going
a really
on.
Good friend of ours. No, yeah. No bad.
It was
vibes.
A peaceful, you know,
peaceful
switch.
Separation.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question that probably everybody asks you? Are you guys like a?
What do you think?
A romantic thing.
We try to keep it kind of mysterious, but yeah, we are.
Sure. You're either brother or sister or husband and wife. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so you met at that thing, and then you, what was your old band? What was that?
Tammy? We just went by my name.
Okay.
It was a lot more folky, singer-songwriter. And then this guy came in, and we started kind of getting more experimental, and he kind of introduced me to this sort of indie electronic.
And delay pedals.
Synthesizers, yeah. I was like, what? What is this magic?
What's funny, because there are, you bust out in like some even like bluesy rock. Solo stuff in there, like you take it, like I really love your playing.
Thank you.
And
thank
I
you.
Also like I've been working on new music and thinking to myself like there's got to be a way to change the way I do it to make it, you know. So I've been seeing all these different things. I saw this thing of Timbaland writing a song, and he just goes in and like sings the drums, sings the bass, sings the keyboard parts, sings like, and then he goes back and replaces it all with instruments.
Really?
Oh, wow.
He's actually a producer that I really want to work with.
Really?
Like, he worked with an artist that I really admire, and yeah, that's a
goal. Who was that artist?
Lennon Stella.
I don't know that.
Okay, she's she was on the show Nashville.
Yeah.
But she's very like electronic.
One
and,
of the little kids?
Yeah. But now she's grown up, and she's so good.
Oh, I wondered what happened. I watched that show.
Yeah, I watched it a little bit. But yeah, you should look her up. She's good.
Okay, yeah, I will. All right, so back to this. So you guys started that thing, then you started introducing things, and then the rest of the band just kind of faded away or didn't want to... I guess it's hard to go from folk to...
Yeah.
Swells.
It was just very organic in the beginning. It wasn't like a super serious thing. We were all just kind of doing it for fun. So it sort of just evolved into this thing. And I don't know. We were doing it duo a lot at first and then started pulling in more musicians.
Mm-hmm. At one point, we were like a five piece with a rhythm guitar player, bass player. And
yeah,
drummer.
When we played ACL, I think that was a five piece. That was five piece. Mm-hmm. But now we stripped it down.
Yeah,
because you can do a lot with just two people if you have.
Saves money, and you know, I've just been learning producing over the last couple of years and integrating more electronic beats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's been a huge help too.
Yeah. So how do you write these songs? Because that's what I was saying, is that I want to find a way to do it, and I was listening to you guys, and it was like, man, these are really like, seems like writing these songs would be really fun. There's no guy sitting there with an acoustic guitar moaning.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they start that way. Sometimes I'll just have like an idea on a guitar, and then I bring it to Drew with kind of the chord progression and the melody and the vocals, and then he expands it a lot. And then sometimes he'll start it on the computer with tracks and an idea, and I'll come in and come up with the melodies and the vocals over what he created sonically. So
that's a good way to do it.
It's fun. I think that helps us come up with more unique ideas and keeps it fresh.
Yeah. And we could still write separately too when needed as well.
Right.
Do our own thing and then mix it together as well.
Is it do you guys have a good, is there, what does like writing a song look like? Is there yelling at any point or crying? Or
I think we've definitely like figured it out because it kind of started off that way. Like,
we
first
would
couple
fight
years,
in the beginning, and I'm like, wait.
Yeah, 5 years later, I think we've, we've tried everything. I think
so that's how long you've been doing this, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A little over that. Probably 6 years now, actually.
Yeah.
You know, when I first heard you guys, it was a while back. It was before the Native thing, but I thought you guys were like, a world famous band. Like, that's what I didn't realize you were people from Austin. Yeah. And I was pretty surprised.
Dang.
I do stuff with the Austin Music Foundation. I remember guys came up as someone that was going to do something. And I was like, are they British or from Brooklyn or something? They're like, no, they're from here. I was like, really? That is weird. Is it hard? I mean, do you find like the landscape of this? I mean, obviously you have things going on and you're reaching for something outside of Austin, which is great. Because there is a lot of stuff, because this is such a, you growing up here probably understand even better that it's a very insular town, and it can be the mountain, the only mountain people are trying to climb, and they forget that there's a whole world out there.
Right.
And I know that people like Dwight have a larger scope when they're trying to do things. this town celebrates music that isn't necessarily what's happening in the mainstream. Like,
right.
You come That's to so Austin, true. And if you were just in Austin and focused on Austin, you wouldn't think there was rap music really anywhere or pop music, just very little happening. And it's all like singer-songwriters and and country and indie rock bands and stuff. So what I was going to ask you is that, is that a landscape that's hard to overcome here? Do you find that you get acceptance in other places faster than here?
Absolutely. I feel like an outsider here sometimes, even though I'm from here. Yeah, but in the music community, it's definitely hard in our genre to sort of feel like we have recognition or like the Austin music community embraces us. But I think that's okay because we love playing here. We love being living here. But we do have sort of this bigger picture where we do want to, you know, move past.
Sure. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
You got to get out of this town.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to fall apart.
Right.
Yeah. But when we played on tour, I feel like people are excited if you're a band from Austin because it's like it has this reputation.
And non-music cities like New York, LA, Austin, or Nashville, when we go play somewhere else like in Minnesota, the crowd audience is just so much more just because they don't have music all day, every day, breathing down their neck.
Right.
It's definitely harder playing in those bigger cities where they just see music every single day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you notice a big difference in the audience in those cities.
I always noticed that too. When I would go out, I'd be like, wow.
Yeah. Like I've been at packed out shows at Emo's before and the crowd audience was, after every song, it was just pretty chill.
Yeah.
And then like we'll go play somewhere in the Midwest and everyone's just like screaming.
You know what? That's an amazing thing. I find that in the middle of the country, even like from, well, not really California as much, but like Vegas East, all the way like the Carolinas, people go nuts.
North Carolina is really good too.
Yeah.
For sure.
Where all did you did 25 dates? Is that right?
25 dates.
Okay. Where, and all over the country in Canada?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did West Coast, Canada, East Coast.
And the Midwest.
Back. Yeah.
What's your favorite of all of them?
Ooh, that's tough a hard
question. Were you guys following a bus in a van?
Yes.
Well, we weren't like following very glamorous. Them the whole time.
That's always, No, we got this great tour, but we're still in this janky ass situation.
Yeah.
That's so cool, though. You know what I mean?
It was a blast. It was a cool learning.
It builds
experience.
Character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, which one? Do you have a favorite part of America?
I love the West Coast.
Yeah.
And then Seattle, Portland, up there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
I think my favorite show. It's hard to name a favorite show on tour, but as far as the crowd audience, I would say either Portland or
Detroit went hard too.
Detroit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I was blown away by Detroit.
Boston too.
Yeah,
that's
Boston
cool.
What
did you guys play in Boston? Like Paradise or something?
Oh, what was it called?
Yeah.
That's like a quiz question.
Fuck is one of my favorite bands in Boston.
Yeah, I can look
most
it up.
Of the up and coming bands are playing. No, you don't have don't worry about it. We're good.
I think my favorite venue though was definitely 930 Club.
Yeah, oh yeah, 930 that place Club, has got
the cupcakes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
They just treated us so well. It was just
that
like I was staying at my grandma's house or something. They were like, "You want some homemade soup? You want some cupcakes?"
They had homemade soup there just waiting for us and everything.
It's funny when you get to a place that's an actual institution.
Yeah.
Like all over the world, like people like love that place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big room.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was
were the shows
good...
packed out pretty well?
Yeah.
Because I don't really know Missio.
They have a really niche audience, but a very dedicated and loyal audience. They can bring some crowds out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're growing. They're charting on
Alt Nation. They've had a number one on there for like the past 3 weeks and still at number one.
Mm-hmm.
The ICU single.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing too is like I'm 50, so there are things that just like I don't know. Like, you know that band BTS? They were on like Saturday Night Live, and I got a text from one of my best friends that's my age, and he texted me. He's like, "Who the fuck is this band?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "I've
what
never
is
even
going
heard
on?"
Them. Yeah, everyone was screaming like it was like
yeah, it's a modern day Backstreet.
That's more
Boys.
Like the 12-year-old scene.
Yeah. So what is it? What is that crowd? The crowd that goes see Missio, is that like a younger or
no? I mean, it's very diverse. It's younger. It's older. It's
Yeah.
All over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to hang out with Franchise and Zeely all day, too?
They were so fun. Yeah.
We shared an Airbnb with them in Nashville for 4 days, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That was a lot of
They're
fun.
They're fun.
Yeah,
they are fun. They're nice guys, man. Yeah, they are really, sure. like, I always learn something from Zeely when I talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sure. both super smart, super genuine, just great people.
And hilarious. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. They talk so much shit to each other all day, every day, just messing with each other. And it's so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like an old married couple.
I wanted to get them on when that emo show happened. I was talking to Zeely because I've had them both on a couple of times, but I've never had them together.
Oh, yeah. You should.
And that's what I was like. That would be hilarious. But I was playing out of town that day. So,
yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And sadly, Zeely did move away, didn't he?
He did. Yeah. He lives in LA now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do you like working with Dwight Baker?
I love it, for sure.
Yeah, I love it because he's very blunt and honest.
Very
if
blunt.
Something isn't good, he just tells you, and I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, this melody sucks, redo it.
Yeah.
Like, did
just you rewrite
did he do,
that
did
verse.
Did he do the red pen thing to you? Because I've heard stories of the red pen that you hand him your lyrics and he goes through with a red pen and then hands them back with like lines scratched out, which I think is cool as shit, by the way.
I don't remember a red pen.
I have a lot of admiration for that guy. Yeah. He is really... Mm-hmm. That blunt thing, I know some people are like, I don't know, man. And you're like, dude, you don't want to hear the truth? You don't want to be better?
Right.
You just want to be where you are and everyone jerks you off?
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of that also that happens in this town. Yeah,
I know.
There's a lot like, it's true. You're awesome. Yeah. Everyone's awesome. We're all awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
We're
not all awesome.
No. No, we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like it. He pushes us. Mm-hmm.
That's good. And so when do you think this record's going to come out? Do you know?
We're releasing a single in about a month.
4 to 6 weeks. Yep.
Yeah.
And then another single 4 to 6 weeks after that. And then probably the album late fall, early winter. So what we're looking at right now.
Okay.
Do you guys have any tours? I saw there's no dates on your...
No,
we're in the hat for a couple of fall tours right now. We're trying to do something similar where we go out and open for someone.
Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Good.
Nothing solidified yet, but fingers crossed.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can, as a duo, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And even if it's like a small amount of stage they can give you, you know what I mean? Because a lot of times, like, everyone's using all the inputs. You got five. All right. But we got it.
Make it work.
Yeah. That's cool. And then you'll be taking a drummer out with that. You took a drummer out with the Missy thing. That's what you said, right?
Yeah. Okay. We did.
Yeah. I definitely prefer playing with a drummer.
It's way better. It's more live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus programmed beats.
I saw Patty and Dwight not recently, but sometime in the last year and a half, and they were doing it was those two and a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great.
Yeah.
It does add a little more excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And it really like there's something about even when I've been doing acoustic shows for the last like year and a half, I've taken a guy that plays percussion and small drum shit just because it really changes the whole thing.
It absolutely does.
And you can get a little bit, you can get the attention
a
little more immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you guys, so when you play, you're playing to, there's a lot of tracks, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How does that,
we have tracks and live samples that we trigger over the tracks as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what that, like what like a percentage of a song is like?
Probably like 50-50.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have tracks on the SPD that our drummer will trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we don't have a drummer, I'll trigger it. And then he's got individual drum samples and other samples that he triggers on top of that track.
Yeah.
And then I have my own sampler and MIDI synth as well, just layering it over the track.
And then a little trumpet sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
A live trumpet?
In. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Look at you.
Yeah.
Playing we're in the studio in August and we're writing a couple new songs this summer. So we want to write some songs and add more trumpet.
For sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So obviously it has to have happened. It has to have happened at some point that the stuff didn't work.
Thankfully, never like at a live show where it like cuts out or something.
Okay.
It's happened in rehearsal before the tour too, where like on this one part of this one song, the equipment would just shut down. And that's like the scare. And that happened like the week before the Missio tour too. And we had to troubleshoot it and figure it out. But we realized it was caused by a drum trigger, which you can put triggers like on your actual snare drum or kick drum that's connected to the sampler. So when you hit the snare, it triggers like an electronic snare.
Right.
And that was tripping up. It was conflicting with the track just because of the specific setting that I had set. And we just had to alter that. And then it fixed it.
How nerve-wracking was that time?
I was freaking out.
Very. I'm like, well.
I was totally freaking out.
How do you, is it tracks that you did that you recorded and then you take the stems?
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
do you?
And I pick and choose what I want.
Okay.
It's mainly just like a lot of synth pads and crazy vocal shit.
Not a lot of vocal stuff though.
Like samples and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like
okay.
Vocal samples and delays and stuff like that.
Weird little bleeps and bloops. Bloop. Noises.
do you don't play keyboard? Do you play keyboards?
No.
No.
I play guitar, but I'm actually learning piano right now, as of starting yesterday.
Yep. Definitely want to get her back playing live again, because that's where we started, was with her and an acoustic guitar, and now she just sings, which I think was really fun for you to kind of put that aside and just focus on that, but I think it's time to bring back the guitar and do some guitar minis
or
something.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, like, I mean, if there's a drummer guy, he's playing drums, he's
right,
back
right.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You obviously got a lot of things that you have to do during the
exactly,
show.
Exactly.
Like a to-do list.
For sure, for sure.
And then I guess it makes sense. I mean, I thought that it worked with, like, I was impressed at the Native Hostel show that I saw. I felt like you gave, like you were talking to everyone. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you were singing.
I absolutely. Like that. I would like it to have like one or two songs in our set where I play an instrument and the rest of the time I can really engage with the crowd, because that's what I love.
Yeah.
Just connect and focus on.
And it's always fun to strip it back. I think I want to start doing like two stripped back songs with no tracks or samples, just guitars, just and that. Guitars and vocal. Just for a couple of songs.
Bring
just
it
to
back.
Change the vibe. And then bring it back up and turn on the 808s again.
Yeah. I just got this Volca Beats drum machine a few weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's nice. It's a Korg. It's
okay.
Cute.
Cool.
Is that, it's cute. Is it like vocal processing and harmonies?
The Volca thing is there's a lot of, there's like a Volca synth, and they're all like these small sized things. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, you check it out.
Cool.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it helps. You got a computer running all your shit. I don't think you need a bunch of little things that you have to plug in.
Yeah.
So
I'm totally open.
So tell me, where did you start playing in Houston?
Drew? Beginner band in sixth grade. Started playing trumpet, and I also took guitar lessons on the side as well.
When did you know that this was the thing? When were you like,
Probably before beginner band, because I have three older brothers that were in band as well.
Oh,
and
really?
I would go to their football game, the high school football games, and watch them in the marching band. I was like, dang, that's cool.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it started when I was a little kid, just admiring my brothers.
When did you make the switch from, like, maybe marching band isn't as...
Junior year of high school.
Yeah.
I was like...
Did you start a regular band?
Yeah, totally. Had a garage band, and we played the homecoming carnival.
Nice.
Yeah, it was badass.
Where else did you guys? Did you ever play like Fitzgerald or anything like that?
No, we didn't make it that far. We did just like house parties and then the homecoming carnival. Nothing crazy.
How did you end up in Austin? Would you come here for school?
Texas State in San Marcos. Okay. And then played a lot of the clubs down there. Triple Crown, Texas Music Theater, and a blues jam band.
In a blues jam band?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That's the blues licks in our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What did you go to school for?
Business marketing, actually.
Was that a masquerading as a guy going to school for business and marketing while he played in bands, or was it like, hey, I can apply this to my life?
I've definitely applied aspects of it.
Yeah.
It was a great learning experience for sure. I mean, learning about marketing is never a bad thing, especially when you're running a band and doing
Didn't you
that.
Start though with a music degree and then you switched?
I did. I started off with like a music degree for like the first semester, but like immediately changed it because it's really tough to make music or make money with a music degree these days. So.
Yeah. And you don't really need one in music.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You never show up to like the gig at Native Hostel. They're like, hey, before you guys go on, are you certified?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. So did you start playing in bands and stuff there?
Yeah. I had two different bands at Texas State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did they ever come to Austin and play? Or
yeah. My first gig ever, like outside of my high school jam band was actually at Flamingo Cantina when I was a freshman in college. Yeah. Yeah. Played with the band called Equals.
Okay.
They were like instrumental electronic, and I just played trumpet with them.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, started a blues band called En Route, and we just played all over San Marcos and did Flamingo Cantina a couple times as well. And then Beauty Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot
Beauty
about
Beauty Bar a couple times before it was Holy Mountain. And
right.
And what is it now?
I was there last night, Barracuda.
Barracuda. Barracuda. Nice.
Yeah. I went back from war last night, I didn't.
Nice.
Awesome.
I stayed cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to. Okay. I couldn't do 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
I'm 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. You're like, oh, God. This is what this feels like. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You have to think about the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So what about you, Taylor? Did you grow up like in, like, were your parents taking you to shows? And did you go to like,
no, I never went to ACL or really any kind of
shows. Blues on the Green or anything?
I did Blues on the Green. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In high school.
With your friends?
Yeah. Yeah.
You went to Backstreet Boys for your first concert?
Let's not tell anybody that.
Where was that?
At the Frank Irwin Center.
How was it? Was it good?
Yes.
Still the best concert ever?
Probably.
Really?
No.
What made you want to do music?
I just remember before I even played an instrument, I was really young and I would just make up songs. It was kind of a way to like combat stress and anxiety. Like I would put my feelings into, I guess, you know, just journaling or poetry, but then I would want to turn it into a song. So then I decided to learn guitar, and I used to know how to play the piano when I was younger, but then I stopped. So yeah, I'm gonna relearn. But yeah, then I just bought a guitar at this pawn shop, and yeah, I just kind of taught myself. I took a couple lessons, but
were you doing it because was this like a thing? Like were you just like, hey, I'm just getting my feelings out?
Yeah, it was really just for me, sort of. I didn't have really a long term vision for it. And then I just started playing open mics and coffee shops. I think my first show was at Rudamaya, their open mic night.
Yeah.
RIP. I missed that place.
Oh, yeah, it's gone.
But yeah, then I guess just the Austin community, it was so easy to meet people. And so from doing that, I used to play at Lucky Lounge all the time.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just started meeting people. And
how old were you when you were playing Lucky Lounge? That's kind of a...
I was like 22. Yeah, 23.
At that point, were you like, this is what I'm going to do? Or were you still just like, I like playing music?
I mean, it was always, you know, a dream. It was always something that, but I don't know. I'm always just very in the moment and not really thinking very far into the future. So for me, it was just something I loved. It was just a passion. And I guess slowly I started wanting to do it more as a career. Yeah. Still working on that part.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What was causing the stress and anxiety?
When I was younger, it was definitely just family stuff. Yeah, my mom was a little bit all over the place. And, you know, being younger, being a kid and not really having like a stable family environment, my dad was always traveling. So at one point I was like, decided to live with him, but I was in high school. So I was just like living by myself, basically. I got a dog. But I don't know. It was just a weird time in my life. So it was good. I had music to.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's something very real about the lyrics that you write, even down to, I can't remember what song it is, but you're like, I'll make you spaghetti, which comes out of the blue, and like you don't hear it in a song. I'm like, so brilliant.
How did
like,
she just say?
It just brought a smile to my face of like, I knew what you were saying when you said that.
Yeah.
And it takes someone that's written a lot to be able to say those things that you know exactly what, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The sentiment behind someone making you spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also it was funny, and I very much appreciated that. But it also just showed me, like, that's a very real existential lyric.
Yeah.
You know? Very relatable.
Yeah,
Who doesn't love spaghetti?
And it's comforting.
Yeah, it's comforting. It shows when you love them, you care.
So do you ever do like therapy or anything?
I did when I was younger, and I actually have been wanting to again. I just think it's like a healthy thing.
Yeah, it is.
But for now, I have music. I have the grocery store. That's my therapy.
What happens at the grocery store? I go every day.
She just goes to the
grocery
store.
I want to find out exactly what, because maybe I'm doing that too without noticing. It's my therapy.
It literally is like my favorite place if I'm feeling stressed. I'm like, I'm going to go to Whole Foods and just shop around. And it's not like I can't obviously get a lot because that would be my entire paycheck. Yeah. But it just calms me down. I don't know.
I worked at Whole Foods for like 5 years from like 1988 to 1993.
Wait, so the old location?
I worked at one in Houston, and I worked, there was one at Ben White and Lamar, where I think there's a Sprouts there now, Brody Oaks. There was one there since like 1984, there was one there.
Wow, that's cool.
Cool.
We used to play there.
Yeah.
For groceries, like once a month.
Oh, really?
For a long time, we would play at their little bar.
And they would pay us in gift cards.
Yep.
It was awesome.
Shit, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an expensive place. Well, when I worked there, what I was going to say is people that worked there, we got a discount. I can't remember if it was 20% or 15%, something like that. But people called it whole paycheck because you'd get your paycheck and then just give it back to them.
Yep.
For some celery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard that for sure.
Yeah. So you walk around the grocery store, and what exactly, like, are you a cooking person? Do you like to cook?
Love to cook.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, spaghetti.
It is awesome.
You know.
More than spaghetti, though? Like, do you like chopping things, not just the ragu, and then boiling some?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I'm all right.
That's good. I just got a whole new kitchen. I haven't cooked in it yet.
Nice. You got
to
break it
in. I need to do it tonight.
Yes. Yeah. What are you going to make?
Spaghetti. No. I don't know. Maybe some, some style of chicken. Mm. So you guys live together?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what do you guys do for work?
I work at Planoly. It's an Instagram planning app.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do editorial and marketing.
Does that help you with your own use of Instagram in some way?
Yeah, it kind of helps me stay... You know,
stay on top of the trends.
Yeah, I kind of see what's happening, and because social media is definitely a really important part of being in a band, mm-hmm. growing your audience. So
it's difficult because to me, I still feel like I have a hard time with people being able to. There's people that get followers. Like I was saying, I do stuff with the Austin Music Foundation. I've had consultations with people over there that have come in and been like, we hired this publicist that's helping us get more likes on our Facebook page. And I'm like, yeah, I was looking everywhere for your music. You guys have any music out? Like, no. I'm like, but you've got like 4,000 likes on Facebook. Yeah. And I'm like, those people don't really like you. No, they do. And I'm like, they've never heard your music. What are they liking? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like a weird fine line. I see how like you need to use it.
I see bands paying for likes every day. And I'm just like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, like, I don't
go
like
out
that.
On the road and get organic likes. People that actually like
that's
heard
the,
your music.
That's the thing.
That's all that matters.
That's the thing that I find missing is that nobody wants to go out and do it
right
anymore.
Yeah.
It's like I want my song in a movie and a commercial and a TV show. And I just want to play shows in Austin when I want so I can go home afterwards. And you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's not a career.
No. Mm-mm. No. Like after our tour, throughout our tour, we would ask the audience, you know, follow us on Instagram if you want to keep up with us. Throughout the tour, we got 1,000 new Instagram followers, I would say.
All
and they're real
people who were at our
people
show.
That like
the
our
cool
music.
Thing about it is you have realistic of those numbers, but then you have like 1.7 million plays on your spot. So you can tell like it's your music that's
right.
That people are actually liking, not liking something because someone like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Do you guys, have you guys used publicists and stuff like that or?
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Not until
I
you're
have that
on
same
a
feeling.
Higher level. I think it'll make more sense then when they have like an in at Billboard or something like that. And you're actually at that level to get up on there.
Yeah.
But even then. It's very, very expensive for
15
minutes of exposure.
It's
24 hours of exposure before they premiere something else.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And whether they're premiering it, are people actually going there? Or is it just people like us looking to see if they premiered our thing in the publicist? Because I really, I found one because I deal with publicists doing this show. Mm-hmm. Like, they come to me, they do this stuff. I go and look at their things, and I can see them taking on bands that don't need a publicist, and they're obviously getting mm-hmm. however much
yep.
a month, $1,000, $2,000 a month, or something like that.
What that?
And yeah, and they've. And it's not really yielding anything. And I feel mm-hmm. like that whole publicity thing, and I'm sorry to any publicists listening to this, even ones that are friends of mine. It's the last place you can get paid mm-hmm. as a person in this business. So I know people that were booking agents 10 years ago, managers 10 years ago, whatever, and now they're publicists. Because mm-hmm. that's the only place where someone pays you up front, right. and you don't really have to deliver anything.
Right.
Like the rest of it, like manager, booking agent, these people have to work, and then you get a little bit of what they get, and that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the publicity thing has created its own world, and it's created its own importance within itself, but it's yeah. not really... I mean, how many kids read, you know, whatever, Overlord, and see the premiere of a song? And I'm not saying anything mm-hmm. bad about it. I think that's a great site, but how much does press like that turn into... an actual audience
yeah.
anymore.
Right.
And it's hard to even know. You can't even really pinpoint the numbers, which is why it's just, it's kind of a gamble.
It's totally a gamble.
And these days with all of the music blogs and, you know, Hype Machine or whatever, I think it's also easy to kind of get your own exposure and reach out to those people yourselves. And maybe they're more receptive because the artist
you're is... the actual artist and yeah. they can talk to you.
Yeah.
And if they really dig your stuff, then they're going to feel that relationship building.
Right.
And mm-hmm. really like it, too.
Yeah.
We do yeah. a lot of self-pitching.
Yeah. yeah, we do.
Well, I mean, there's also the thing, like, you know, you take all this money that you would pay a publicist. Mm-hmm. I meet people that, like, oh, yeah, I've got the publicist and doing the thing, and I'm going to get him in a blog or something. And then mm-hmm. you're like, hey, you got a van? No, we can't travel. We don't have a van. It's
yeah.
like,
yeah.
you could have bought a van.
Yeah,
that
and gotten real fans.
right.
Yeah. Yep.
I would rather sure. put that money into the studio mm-hmm. or touring.
Do you guys have a studio?
We have similar, just a living room studio set up with my laptop, speakers, and interface.
Yeah.
And keyboards and everything.
Oh, Siri's trying to get
is
in
it your
on
mom?
This. Siri.
What does Siri have to say about this?
Siri, what do
home
you think?
Studio. and then when we write with Dwight, we basically get a Dropbox folder going
mm-hmm.
and we share stems uh-huh. and we just work together in the studio on that, and I'll have my laptop and I'll be recording stuff. He'll be recording stuff and we'll just have a shared session essentially.
That's awesome that yeah. you can do that now.
Yeah.
But
it's
do you
crazy.
Do
this,
you miss
this is a really unique experience.
Having like the blocked out time to go in and this is what we're doing for like the next 8 hours a day for the next 3 days or something.
Oh, we still do that with
yeah.
Dwight in
yeah.
his studio.
We did Monday through Friday for like 4 weeks from like 10 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah. It was amazing.
For the album. Yeah. It's a really fun month.
Do you guys do Kickstarters or anything like that? Or you just use your own money that you
play
generate?
A lot of private gigs.
Yeah, we're actually awesome. We're playing a private gig today
yeah.
to help fund the studio.
Oh, yeah, so you were doing that. Tell me about yeah. these private gigs. What do you do with them? Obviously, you probably have to play some.
Lots of cover
yeah.
songs.
What's that
we
like?
Do it duo.
Soul sucking.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm in one of those, and I used to be signed to Elektra like in the late 90s and early 2000s, and I can afford life a lot more in
right.
a cover band.
Totally.
And it
yeah.
allows me the freedom
it
to...
It funds what yeah. we do. It funds Swells. We don't make that much money with Swells. A lot of it's
no. I mean, when you go out,
private gigs and
yeah,
everything.
You know, when people see you out on tour, the mm-hmm. general, you know, the regular punter guys, like, oh, man,
they made it.
They made
oh,
it.
Wow.
Yeah, and you guys are like...
Dude, we have tech jobs.
They're like
and
the
we
lowest,
play a lot of weddings.
They're like the yeah. lowest paying gigs is yeah. those really cool ones.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, my friends opened for Kiss like in the 90s.
What?
$200 a night.
Wow.
That's insane.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Even for the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is Kiss doesn't need to. Anyone, there's got 1,000 people that
yeah.
would do it for free.
They're getting paid in exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, there was the band that I was in when our record came out. They were trying to figure out how to save our careers, and they had this master plan that we were gonna pay $10,000 a show to Stone Temple Pilots to be the first band of four on the bill to go on stage for a 25-minute set that starts when the doors open. So you're playing these big places, and you're touring with these people, but you have to pay them $10,000 a show.
What?
And we had like a $50,000 tour budget, and those guys wanted to blow it on five shows, and we were like, dude, we can go out on the road for fucking half a year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? God, it was really an odd thing, and that was
that's very odd.
But when you see like that's how the sausage is made, you're like, shit, man, the people do pay like those bigger bands because
It's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
It's fucked.
So y'all didn't do it?
No.
Good call.
You know, we had the same result of what would happened anyway, but
yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where where you kind of, I mean, you guys, I'm sure you got paid. You didn't have to pay Missio and Blackalack. It doesn't seem like they're at that sort of like indiscriminately fucking people around the world because they can.
Yeah.
But I just, a lot of people just don't see that that's the reality of what happens and you've got to do this stuff and you fund it. But I'm glad that you guys do it through an honest way, because another thing outside of the publicists and all that stuff is the constant Kickstarters and Indiegogos and all of these things where eventually, and then it's weird that people won't buy your record, but they'll give you $25 for a Kickstarter.
Well, I just don't want to do a Kickstarter because then I see like this dog that was beaten and needs money, or like this family where their son has cancer. I'm like, I'm not going to ask people to pay when there's people that need
money more than us.
We're going to
go out there and accomplish our dreams ourselves.
Yeah.
Working for it.
You know what? I can see, a guy like Dwight is definitely like, he's from the mindset that I am of that sort of thing. Like, just go make the money.
Yeah.
Pay for it.
Yeah. And we did bring merch on tour, and I was surprised we sold out of all of our stuff. Like, people bought CD.
Wow. That's great.
Who knew? And t-shirts, and you know, so that was good.
Yeah.
That's really great. So you guys have a couple of singles you're doing. What's the party you're doing today?
It's for Deloitte.
What's that?
I don't know. Some
Deloitte Entertainment?
No, cool. Damaris Entertainment is the production company.
Oh, yeah.
Deloitte, which I think it's some kind of software company or something.
Yeah.
That's great. What's your tech job?
I work at GiveGab. We do online fundraising for nonprofits and radio stations and universities.
Oh, that's cool.
They do giving days like Amplify Austin.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the software company behind all that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I did a video for the Amplify Austin.
I saw that.
You did?
It's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. Yep.
I'm glad that I didn't lie. No, I'm joking. Is there anything I'm missing? It's really been a pleasure talking to you guys. Sorry I was janky at the beginning. I was trying
to
remember what I do when I do this.
This was fun. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
It's been really great having you guys. People can find you at swellstheband.com. Mm-hmm. What do you do about the other bands that are out there called Swells? Because there's a couple of guys out there.
We have a trademark certificate, and we hired a lawyer to cease and
hell
desist those motherfuckers.
Congratulations, man. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People should check out your music. It's really, really great. And I wanted to tell you that Honey Butter, when did that come out?
August.
August.
Last August?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that will qualify. My cousin and I make a Spotify playlist. We used to make CDs before, but it was like our summer jam thing that we would listen to by the pool.
Yeah.
And
very cool.
Yeah, now we can make them like 7 hours long, which is awesome.
Nice.
But I added that song to my
Sweet. Thank you. Well,
thank you, man.
Because I really, you guys are really great. You're great songwriters. You're great performers. You really I'm very glad you're out there.
Yeah, well, thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, I hope the very, very best for you guys. And please come back on the show when you finish the record.
For sure.
And then we'll use the regular mics, and I'll be more in a groove. But it's really been nice talking to you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, all right,
man.
Johnny.
Everyone get out there and check out Swells at swellstheband.com. Their new single, Lights Out, featuring our friend Mobley, is available now. Drew and Taylor, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Taylor Baker and Drew Walker, better known as Swells. You can find them at swellstheband.com. Their brand new single, Lights Out, which you are hearing right there, featuring Mobley, is available now, along with a slew of other singles. You can find just by going to swellstheband.com. Go there, get involved with these guys. See them play. I'm sure they're going to be booking some shows. Looks like they're going to be going on tour later on in the year. Find out about that. Great talking to those guys, man. They're an amazing band. Sorry about the sonic quality with those handheld mics. I had to do it. I did not have this place under control yet, sonically, and I think I'm getting it under control as we speak. Gang, thanks so much for listening to the show. Once again, you can find Swells at swellstheband.com. I want to thank Taylor and Drew for coming by. It was great talking to them. Gang, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, TuneIn. Anywhere you find podcasts, you'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. Me talking to very interesting artists, some from right here in Austin, some from all over the world. Enjoy the rest of this song, Lights Out. Swells featuring Mobley. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
I'm calling.